Okay, thank you. It sure is. Thank you, Father. I don't know how to turn her off. Lord, I just thank you for this great evening we're going to have with each other. Lord, we thank you for melting our hearts into one accord by your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, for your leading tonight and your wisdom also through each and every one of us, Lord. And we praise you for all that's going to be accomplished. We thank you, Lord, for an open heaven tonight, because we know we've got faith to believe that when we pray that things happen, things get shaken, and people get healed, delivered, and set free. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your awesome gift of your Holy Spirit. And we praise you, Lord, that tonight that the gifts will be in operation, the gift of the word of knowledge, gift of healing, gift of faith, all of them, Lord, be in operation. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for touching each and every one of us tonight by your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that there's going to be a lot accomplished tonight, a lot of things said, and it's all going to be led by you, Lord. And we ask and we pray for your presence and your glory to reign upon all of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's see. Okay, has anybody got any prayer requests? Don't be shy. I ain't nobody in this bus shy, for goodness sake. Oh, Jane, I'm sorry I didn't see you, girl. Go ahead.
You're good. I just raised my hand. I just wanted prayer for, I've been having some stomach issues. I'm not going to go into details here, but anyways, I've been not feeling, it's been for the past week, and I've always been used to having like a very strong stomach. Like the last time I threw up was like when I was a kid. Like I've always had a very strong stomach. And so anyways, I've just been thanking God that I'm healed. And if you all just believe with me that I'm healed in Jesus' name, so that way these stomach issues will go away, that would be great.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Geneva to you. We thank you, Lord, she's already been covered by the blood of your son, Jesus. And we command this spirit that is upsetting her stomach to leave right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that like she said, she has a strong stomach and she can eat anything and not be affected by it. Father, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that she is healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen, Lord. We thank you for it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, that Geneva is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. It's done. It is done. Anyone else? Yes, Julie.
I'd just like to add on to that. In Jesus' all name, right. We just come against any and all spirits of witchcraft and assignments against Geneva and her life, her body, her ministry, and anything that's trying to hinder her and the work you have for her, Lord, we cast it all down. And amen. She is healed. We're not under the curse and we don't receive any of those things. We thank you, Lord, for that, the manifestation of that healing. And that you would just give Geneva just total peace and rest. It is done. Thank you, Lord, for just your divine healing upon her. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Who is that coming in here? Petra. Who is that? Hi, Petra.
Glad to have you. Hi, everybody. Yo, it's so nice to be here. Hi, everybody. Well, I can't keep my eyes open and I'm freezing, but I'm here.
Okay, praise God. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for keeping her warm in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Greg, go ahead, brother.
Can I just add, Lord, for you, Geneva, you know, thank you for the weapons of our warfare and also for our armor. And we take our shields of faith, lock them, and block these things that are coming upon Geneva. And we say, no, not here. Turn back. Go to where you came from, and you guys can sort it out between yourselves. But no, you will not touch this sister. Amen. The other thing that I was going to raise, if I can, was it's a testimony. You might recall that we prayed for a friend of mine, April, over in your part of the world. Well, you know, America part of the world for those who are from there. And specifically for her mother, who was very, 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 very unwell and basically was going to pass. And the prayer was, at least that's how I felt, you know, well, I prayed, is that what was causing her to fail would halt to give her time to respond to the Lord's invitation. And anyway, on Monday, I got a message, Monday my time anyway, I got a message from April to say her mother was passing. And I just messaged her back and said, I'll keep vigil. And sometimes when I do that, there's a whole lot that's going on in my mind I can't describe. But I was praying for her, and sometimes when I'm praying, it goes all visual on me. So I'm not really saying any words, but this is what I was seeing. I was standing in a, and if I've said this before, I don't, anyway, it doesn't matter. I was standing in a tunnel. Now it wasn't like a dark tunnel. It was actually very white and kind of white lined. And I was at a fork in a tunnel, in this tunnel, with my back to the fork that went left. And I was standing there going, talking to a mother, basically, you know, going this way, go this way. Anyway, that's just what was going on. I spoke with April last night I got the message, next day or so, that her mother had passed. Like, I got the message pretty much 10 minutes after it happened. But, I was speaking to April last night, you know, about it, and she said her mother, look, her mother's had a very rough and, you know, mostly terrible life, there's a family generational curse going on, another story. But she said before we prayed, she was very disturbed, you know, seeing snakes and, I don't know, you know, all sorts of strange things. And she calmed down. She calmed right down, and stayed calm. Pretty much, and she tells the story better than I do. Up until the time that she passed, that, you know, apparently her, you know, body was bleeding out inside herself, stuff, but her breathing became strong, and she passed. Anyway, what exactly went on in her heart and mind, you know, I don't know that we won't know the details until we're, at that inquiry counter going, what went on here? But something happened. Something's going on. And it's one of those things that I was just like a privilege to be a part of anyway. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's me. Gaynold next.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for calming her down. I believe the Lord saved her too, Jenny.
I do, Lord. Too. Absolutely.
Thank you, Father. She'll be waiting on us when we get up there. All right, is that all, Greg?
That's all. And you know, if I didn't convey it the right way, Lord, you sort it out. Yeah, no, the Lord did something. You know, when April messaged me, saying she's passing, you know, my head went straight back to the prayer that had been prayed, and I'm going, nah, we pray. So the Lord's doing something.
Thank you, Lord. All right, Gano.
Well, I was going to give a praise report, and I see Tracy is on, and I didn't know whether she wanted to give it or if I should.
Well, let's ask her. Tracy, you want to give it or you want her to give it? You'll have to unmute if you're going to talk.
Star 6, I believe, would unmute you.
Yeah, star 6. There you go.
Okay. I'll let Gaynell do it because my throat is really sore. I have a tube down it.
Okay.
All okay. Right. Okay. All I didn't want to speak it if you wanted to, Tracy.
No.
Okay.
I just want to thank everybody. Thank everybody for their prayers.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Gano. Tell us what's going on.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that, you know, we prayed that for the COVID test that she had to take yesterday, that it was negative. And so we're praising the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. And she doesn't have any of the other results back yet, but we're going to believe that they're going to be good as well. And I just,
amen.
Father, I just lift up Tracy to you. And I just thank you for your love for her and just for being with her and just giving her your strength and giving that bold faith to stand on your word and to stand on your promises for all that is lying ahead for her. And I just thank you, Father, for her. I thank you that she's my friend. And I thank you that she knows you and she trusts you. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, we're looking for the good report, the total good report on Tracy, because we prayed the prayer of faith and we believe for her. And we thank you, Lord, that she's healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Everybody believe that? Thank you, Lord. It's done. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. All right. Anyone else? Barbara, if you're trying to talk, you got to unmute.
No, I wasn't. I was just checking something on my computer. I'm sorry.
Don't be pushing buttons. You don't know where they get to, okay?
Okay.
All right. You know what else? Anna. Where's Anna? I saw her here a while ago. Oh, there you are. Hey, Anna, what's that guy's name? Let's pray for him. You want to pray for him?
Yes. We're praying for a man named Robert. He's got a strawberry field down here, and he doesn't have anyone to pick his strawberries, and they're rotting in the field. So some of us are going to go down there and just kind of surprise him and help him out by picking his strawberries. But he's an unbeliever, so we're believing the Lord's going to use this. So, Lord, amen. We lift up Robert, and I thank you, Father, for bringing us across this man, Lord, and giving us a chance to witness to him. And I ask that you go before us, Lord, and soften his heart, Lord, prepare his heart to receive, open his eyes, Lord, to see Jesus in us. Lord, I just ask that you would touch him in a way he's never been touched before. Lord, that he would that you would open his heart, Lord. His heart is not open to receiving the gospel, but that you would open his heart, Father. Prepare him tonight, Lord, even give him a dream tonight, Lord, and prepare for tomorrow. Lord, that you would just totally, totally change this man's attitude towards Christians, towards you, Lord, really, that you would just make a way, Lord, and that it would just be an awesome time, Lord, and that some of the brothers would have an opportunity to speak and witness to him tomorrow, Lord. I just pray that you would make that happen, and we just bind up and cast down any demonic walls around him or bad that might have been put through bad experiences with religion or whatever it is, strongholds from as we just bind it up and cast it down. And we thank you, Lord, that he is going to be an open man tomorrow and ready to receive Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord. I just believe with Anna, you're going to work on this man's heart tonight. And by the time we get there tomorrow, he's going to be just really open to the gospel. And we praise you for it. Father, open up his spiritual eyes and ears. Send your angels, Lord. We pray that the Lord of harvest would send us, use us tomorrow in this man's life to give him a hope where there is no hope. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving Robert tomorrow. We're just all going to have a jubilee party right down there in the strawberry patch. And when we get through, we're going to sit down and eat strawberry. Praise God forevermore. Amen.
Amen. And Michael, that he would be able to sell all those strawberries that were picked and people, and they will taste really good.
Amen. 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 That's right, Julie. He's on the verge of getting a huge blessing. He's going to be our brother.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. There's some of them strawberries, Angelica, sitting up there testing y'all with. Hey, good. Boy, I'm telling you, they are so good. All right. Anyone else? Anybody else? What about a testimony? Praise report, a song, a story, a comment. Hi, Claire. All right. Well, I guess we can shut her down. Go ahead, Missy. Yeah. Go ahead, Missy.
Okay. I've really been going through a battle here lately, and I feel like it's a witchcraft. It's rejection, condemnation, distraction, lack of focus and concentrating, depression, discouragement. I mean, it's just like a bunch of stuff. And there is, something's been going on with me for quite a while. And I felt like today the Lord showed me that it was witchcraft. that whenever I'm like getting cleaned up or whatever for the day, you know, like wash my hair and drying it and everything, it's like my I'm attacked with these thoughts about past, a particular area of past sin. And I cast it down, but it's like it always attacks me at that time, almost always. And I cast it down, but because I'm busy, you know, trying to get ready and get finished doing what I got to do, I'm not very effective in battling it lots of times. Because I'm not my, you know what I mean? and I'm pretty sure I know where it's coming from. But that's all I can share. But I would like prayer for that.
Okay.
That I just mentioned real specifically, and then all these other things. It's like,
Okay, Julie, did you want to do it? Okay, go ahead.
I can kind of relate to what you're saying, Missy, and what was coming to me. for my own personal self, and I think it may apply to you, but you know, you ask the Lord. I get attacked in a similar way. I have gone through some stuff where the enemy's really been throwing a lot of stuff at me, like you just mentioned, the exact same things. And I know it is witchcraft, the Lord told me it was, but also physical stuff. And it happens like when I go to get ready to take a shower or whatever, I get hit with all kinds of physical things. And I know it's witchcraft. And what the Lord was revealing to me is like, you know, anytime the enemy wants, it's kind of like a parallel of getting clean. You're going into the shower to get clean. And we go into the Word to get clean spiritually. And he's wanting to keep us out of the Word. He wants us to keep us from feeding our spirit man. He wants us to keep us from, I just mean the witchcraft, where it was coming from. You know, the enemy wanting to keep us from doing things we need to do, want to do, and all that. And it is witchcraft. And at least that's what the Lord was showing me. It was like a parallel about when I want to get clean. You know, I need to go do this, and I want to sit in the Word and sit at his feet and meditate and study. And there's all this stuff going on either in my mind or physical stuff, you know, saving me, you know, harassment. So I would like to pray for you too. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for Missy. I thank you for her life. I thank you, Lord, for all the battles and the tests that you're putting us through and getting us armor ready and battle ready for bigger things. And that we don't have to accept any of this harassment from the enemy, wherever it's coming from. So we cast it off, Missy, all of this harassment, all of the witchcraft, all of the wiles of the enemy and attacking our minds and attacking and afflicting our bodies. We break its power off of you in the name of Jesus. And we forbid you from coming near us. We don't receive it. And Lord, I pray for great wisdom, discernment, understanding, a quickening by your spirit, to recognize these things and to fight and to swing our swords and to be in our armor at all times and not accept any of this stuff and not accept any kind of the accusations that the enemy may be throwing at us about our past life to get us in guilt or condemnation and feeling bad. You know, he is trying to get us downcast and trying to get us focused off of what we are to do and who we are and distract us from the truth and what we need to do. And we do not accept it, and we break its power. It's done. We thank you, Lord, that we already have the victory. We rejoice, and I thank you, Lord, for lifting Missy up, filling her up with your Holy Spirit, filling her up with love and joy and peace and believing by the power of your love and your spirit within her, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that she is already feeling better. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. We also break the power of all the things that he's trying to put on her, too. Depression, discouragement. All of those things in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that she is set free from these curses spoken against her right now in Jesus' name. And we ask and we pray that your warrior angels surround about her, Lord, to keep these things from interfering with her anymore in Jesus' name. Thank you for your overcoming power and faith, Lord, to know that she'll know that the Holy Spirit is working in her. And we praise you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for your cleansing power, Lord. And the same thing for Julie, too, in Jesus' name. We pray all of that for Julie as well, in Jesus' name. Ditto, I think it's word. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Both of you girls are cleansed, set free by the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Ooh, I felt the Holy Spirit then. Y'all better look out. He's coming.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, Claire.
Hi. I just wanted to share something quite cool that happened. When I was away on Saturday last week, I went and had breakfast somewhere, and then I got in the car, and I had a little ways to drive, maybe like 10 minutes, but the whole way I was just praying in the spirit and just speaking in tongues, and it was just a really peaceful sun. I don't often get to drive in sunshine, so I was just really enjoying the sun, and I was on a highway. As I got on the highway, it was just me, there wasn't really anything happening. It was pretty early still, so there weren't many cars. And I was driving along and I thought, wow, it's really quiet. And then the next minute there was this gray sort of, I must think of all the words that people can understand now, a ute, a pickup, a bucky. So all of those, just one gray one that was coming towards
me. Four-wheel drive.
All of the big ones. And I looked at it and I didn't think too much of it. It had something that was on its on the top part, like a roof rack or something. I don't know what it was carrying. And the next minute, and all of this time I'm busy praying in the spirit, and the next minute this huge rock like that comes. I don't know if it came from the car or if it came, I don't know where it came from, but it came. And I, you know what your first reaction, right, is to like duck down. So I ducked down and I'm a bit skittish to swerve a car because I'm not sure that my skills would get me to swerve it back the right place. But I kind of ducked, and in my mind's eye, in my spirit, I saw a sword just flick this thing up. And when I opened my eyes, I was pretty sure that it was going to hit the windscreen, windshield, the glass in front of you. And but instead, I heard it like skid over the top of the car. So I thought, oh, there's going to be such damage to the top of the car because that was such a big rock. And then I thought, no, but we're protected, like we're covered and we've prayed for this car and I know my angel's with me, so like there shouldn't really be anything. Anyway, I came home and I told Rian the story and then forgot about it, and the next day he's like, there's nothing. He's like, I went to go look on top of the car because I couldn't be bothered to look on top of the car, but he did. And there's nothing, like there's just no scrape or anything, but I heard the sound and I saw in my spirit what happened. So I'm just so grateful to God for protecting us and giving us so much grace and so much mercy, and it's just wonderful.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah, for your protection upon all of us. All right, anyone else? Oh. All right, I had to sneeze. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Father. You're an awesome God. You're so good to us, Lord. Yeah, Megan.
Yes, I need a prayer request for me and my dad tax return. We waited for 2 months and 2 months, and we still wait for it. So I need a prayer for that. Hello?
Yeah, I'm not sure I understood the whole thing, Megan. You say you need prayer for...
Me and my dad was waiting for our tax return, and we waited for over 2 months, and it still haven't come.
Okay. I heard something's coming. Oh, tax return. Okay. Thank you, Angelica. Yes. All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you for bringing the tax return back to Megan. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. It's on the way. It's in the mailbox when she goes out and looks for it in the morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It's there. We declare and decree it to be in the mailbox tomorrow. Everybody believe that? How many of you know God can do that? I do. I believe it. Glory to God. It looks like some more people do too. In Jesus' name, Megan, you go out there tomorrow morning. It'll be in there. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, my.
How's your job going, Megan?
It's going great. I got paid today.
Paid is good when you work. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Oh,
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Ain't nothing too hard for the Lord. I'm telling you, I found that out just in the last little bit. Thank you, Father. Yes, that's awesome. Do you like the job? Is it a good job? You care? You, people around you, good people?
I love it. It's people, great. All great.
Awesome. Thank you, Father, for putting her right where you wanted her. And the people, too, that she could be a great witness for you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody else?
I have heard something regarding the tax return. Could I say that?
Yes, go ahead.
I heard that they aren't permitted to collect anymore.
You heard what?
That they aren't permitted to collect anymore.
Well,
because of the change in the federal structure.
Yeah, after this year, there's no more taxes.
It's already in place.
There's not going to be any more income tax. There'll be sales tax. Yep. Because of the old system being bankrupt. Not only that, they're going to be going into this new system, and this new system is going to do away with it. There will just be a flat tax. It sounds like it's going to be right around 13%. I don't know, though. I don't know what it's going to be. And that's just on new stuff and not on food or drugs. So there you go. That's what we heard anyway. Okay. You know, I was just fixing to say, we can declare and decree and God will follow through, and all we have to do is just trust him to believe this is happening. It's going to happen. Just get excited because you can do it and it'll happen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Marissa.
Hey, everybody. I want to thank the Lord for just a lot of changes that are going on in my life right now, and I just want to praise him for it. I graduated from school this past weekend, and it's only because of the Lord that I was able to, and I know he has a plan for all of that, and I've got a job lined up in July, so I'm excited for that, and I'm just claiming that it's going to be a good job and where the Lord has me, and I'll be able to help people in it. And also, just a huge blessing is my husband and I, we moved up to Kentucky a couple of days ago, and we're in this house that we're renting for a good price. It's a fixer-upper, and honestly, it's been kind of a trial of faith because I'm seeing what my eyes are seeing is there's just so much work, but the Lord's really been blessing my husband with like wisdom and understanding with things that I never knew he even knew how to kind of like tinker with. And I'm just thankful for that. And honestly, also I'd like prayer for this time of because I feel like my flesh is rising up in I don't know, just with this whole move, I know that this is where the Lord has for us and all the doors. He's opened so many amazing doors and like provided for us time and time again. And is just really, I can just tell it's a real blessing to be here. But I think part of my flesh is sad that we moved and, you know, I'm away from my family and everything, but my husband's family's here. And so I know it's a blessing, but I just want to also ask for prayer with just being obedient with the Lord and being like joyful and grateful in this time of change and just trusting in him. So, but it's a huge blessing. I mean, I just have to praise the Lord for like how all of the doors he's opened here and just this new change in our life. And I'm just so thankful for my husband too. So I just want to praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. What part of Louisiana, Kentucky?
It's like Northern Kentucky, up a little bit south of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Ah, okay. Yeah. All right.
But it's beautiful. It's beautiful up here in the summer.
Okay. Praise God. How far are you from Geneva?
Well, Geneva actually moved down to Florida where my family is, but I'm close. We kind of swapped.
We swift swapped. I came to Florida. She went back to Kentucky.
Oh, Lord's doing something there, isn't he?
Marissa's close to Isaac and Mariana, and I live in the same town her family lives in, so we're helping each other.
Okay, praise God. What'd you say, Isaac?
Oh, that was me. I was saying that Marissa actually lives near us now. We switched sisters.
Okay, all right. Praise God. Okay, anyone else? Lord, we just thank you for putting peace in Marissa's heart, that you got her right where you want her, and everything's going to work out just fine. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that she's going to make some great friends up there and be able to minister to them, her and her husband. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Yes, Julie.
I just had a question. Marissa, did you say you were having trouble with your flesh? Is that what you wanted prayer about?
Yeah, just flesh for like desires. I don't know. It's hard to describe. Like, I know this is where the Lord wants, where the Lord has us, but it's just desires of like what I want, like comfort, like I miss the comfort of where I used to live. And so, yeah, I just feel like my emotions are kind of all over the place with during this time. And so I kind of just want to be content and be at peace and be like thankful. And for this time.
Okay. I like pray for you. I would. Father, thank you for Marissa, and thank you for this move and this transition that you've made in their lives. And you opened up all the doors for them. And even though things on the outside are, you know, they're kind of unsettled on what she sees in the natural with a lot of work on this rental property and the things that are. But Lord, as she's already testified that you've already given her husband wisdom and knowledge and understanding on how to do things. So, and then when we move, there's just a lot of changes and a lot of adjustments to make. So Father, I pray that you help her to be amendable to the changes that she finds herself in, and preparing her, Lord, for the changes that she's going to be going through, Lord, spiritually, and that she just learned to rest in you, that you've given her the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you put it in her heart to pray in the Spirit as much as possible while she's working around the house, while she's doing laundry, while she's cleaning, cooking, whatever she's doing, that she be mindful to be praying herself up in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, give her revelations, give her the desire to be at your feet, give her the ability to set aside and make time for you first, and draw her and her husband close to you during this time, and make this transition go very smoothly for them, Lord, as they settle into where they are. And bless them in their new home, and help her, Lord, that to know that she's already dead to the flesh and that she can say no. And you give her the strength and the power to do so by your Spirit, Lord, that's in her. And we pray blessings all over them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to add to Julie's prayer too. Dear Jesus, let Marissa not second guess. I rebuke any spirit that tries to second guess this decision that her and her husband made, Father. Lord, I thank you, God, that Marissa was obedient to her word and to her husband, Father, and that, Lord, you're going to bless them and you're going to bless their marriage through this, Father, and that, God, this is a Kentucky where they're at right now, Lord, is a stepping stone that's going to be used by you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that they're going to be happy the whole time that they're there. and that God, they're going to see you work in a way that they've never seen before. And you're going to bless Jared, Father. You're going to bless Marissa, and Lord, they're going to grow so much through you, Lord. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that only happiness, Marissa is going to feel happiness, and that the weather and nothing's going to affect her in Jesus' name. And that she's going to know every day that you brought her there for a reason, and that God, she's going to love it while she's there, Father. And thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for both of us. And thank you, Father, for your promises. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. I believe it.
Amen. Me too. Thank you, Lord, for blessing her while she's there. He's working some flesh off of you, isn't he? Amen. A lot of times it's not fun. That's okay. It's a vital thing. Go ahead, Benita.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to ask for prayer for my niece, Caitlin. She just graduated from high school, and she had applied to a college, Hillsdale College in Michigan, and she went down there and visited, and she just loved it. It was just the right environment for her. She doesn't want to go to a big university or a university where there's a lot of, I don't know, partying and all that kind of stuff. She's not into all that, luckily. But she didn't get accepted. And so she just was really just praying to the Lord for guidance on what to do from there. And so she's decided to go to a community college right now for the year and try again next year to get in there. But I just wanted to, first of all, ask for a prayer that, you know, that something would change at the university and that she would get in, because that is her heart's desire to go there. And I know the Lord can do it, and it would really be a good fit for her. So that's one thing. And then also with her, also last year, she just started having a lot of stomach problems and ended up being diagnosed with celiac disease and dairy allergy and nut allergy. And I mean, she can barely eat anything now. And so she's just struggling with that. And she handles it all so well. She came over and she brought her over the lunchbox with chips and everything. And but it's just hard to see, you know, young kids like that going through so much and being deprived of so much wonderful stuff God's provided. So just prayer for healing to her stomach and her insides, that she would be able to partake in all that great stuff the Lord's provided.
Amen. Is she a Christian? Is she a believer?
She's a believer. They don't believe in the Holy Spirit indwelling. You know, she's born again, but she's not filled with the Holy Spirit.
Okay. She Baptist in or something like it.
Yeah, similar to that. Yes, very much.
Okay. All right. Well, what's her name?
Caitlin.
Caitlin. Lord, we lift up Caitlin to you, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you place it in her heart to go to God's university, and that you would open up a hunger for the word of God in her like she's never experienced before. Give her a dream, a vision, or whatever it is, Lord, that you would want her to have to bring her into your kingdom all the way. And we thank you for it, Father. And I ask, Lord, that you light a fire in her for the baptism in the Holy Spirit and all that you have for her, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for her. And Lord, I know that 99% of the colleges out there are bad for kids. That the only university now in these latter days that they need to be going to, Father, and that's me, I believe it, is your university. And I ask that you place it in her heart to do that, Lord, to run after you with all her heart. We come against this problem in her, the spirit of infirmity in her stomach, and we command it to go in Jesus' name. You go from her in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that Vanita's going to tell her that we prayed for her, that she's been healed by the power and the blood of Jesus tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you, Lord, that that girl is healed, delivered, and set free and is on fire for you, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I believe it. Y'all believe it?
Amen. Amen. I told her my daughter got healed from her dairy problem. So I told her I was going to pray for her. So I'll let her know we did.
Amen.
Done.
Okay, go ahead, Malcolm.
I have some friends. The mother is probably early 90s, but she's been doing very well until recently. What's happened is some of the family members decided to get the lethal injection, and the others didn't. But since this is contagious, you know, it's hard to say what's going on. But anyway, she's the mother's been getting really short on breath. I just want to pray for the whole family. They don't think the mother's going to make it, but she has been very healthy until just recently. So I guess what I'm praying for a lot of older folks is that the Lord preserves them until this great revival that takes place, so they'll get a chance to kind of get their eyes opened as to their denominational connections and just totally follow the Lord before they go on. I know the Lord can help people through without understanding all these things, but I'm just praying because it seems so close to me and probably all of us that the revival's almost upon us. So what are your thoughts about that, Michael? Because I know we're praying for a lot of older folks here on this conference call.
Okay. Yeah, Julie.
Hey, Malcolm, just quick question. Are these people believers that you're talking about, this family?
They're believers in the sense they believe in Jesus. They don't understand the gospel.
Okay.
They don't understand that physical healing is part of the package.
Right.
A part of the covenant. They certainly believe in the spiritual part of it. So I'm just, you know, I've known these people. Actually, this lady held my mother's hand while I was being born. So pretty close to our family. So I'm just, you know, I just feel burdened for them. I want the best for them. So anyway, go ahead, Julie.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, as believers, they have all the rights and entitlement to the covenant, and we can definitely pray for them that poison, you know, being used against them, these bioweapons can be broken off and then cleaned out of their systems because God is able.
Yeah, he sure is.
Praise the Lord. Well, Lord, you know their names, Lord. Father, we lift up this family that Malcolm is talking about, Lord, where some of them got the injection, Lord, that is causing these problems, and the other people who did not take the injection, Lord. And we cover them now, all of them, in the blood of Jesus, and we forbid these poisons and the effects of these proteins and this evil that's being used against family members and loved ones right now. We come against it in the name of Jesus, and we break its power off of them in the name of Jesus. We command healing into their bodies from any kind of blood issues, heart issues, breathing issues, and the like in Jesus' name, because Jesus, you are able. And we cover them with Psalm 91 protection, that no evil will come near them and that they are shielded by our faith, Lord, and the truth of your word, that we command anything in your name, Lord, it's done. And I pray, Lord, that you give Malcolm comfort and peace in his heart, and continue to pray and lift them up, Lord, in faith, speaking the promises over them, Lord. And we know and believe it's done, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that even though they're aged, you know, there's no age limits when it comes to salvation, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that they are your children by faith. They believe in you, Lord. And they don't know a lot of things yet, but children, you know, they believe what they believe. So we cover them, Lord, and we trust in you, Lord, to do great and mighty things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey, amen. Thanks, Julie. Lord, I thank you for the way you've led this family, and for all their difficult years they've been through all over the world. And, you know, all these issues, Lord, and I just... I thank you for Julie's prayer. I thank you, Lord, that you know all things. You know the timing of these things, that we're trying to sort the timing out. We think we have some clues, and you've certainly revealed plenty, Lord. And so right now I just come against the spirit of the difficulty in breathing, not getting enough oxygen for this lady. And I command all that to come to a stop, to a halt right now. There's no physical reason other than this crud that's running around. Lord, and you're in charge of all these things, so we just speak against that by the authority of the covenant that we have with you, and the fact that they trust in you too. And since the family's all coming back to the States, Lord, I just pray that you will work things. If there's this 10 days of darkness coming up or whatever, that all that will work out and for your will. I mean, as far as what your plan is for this family as well. So I pray they make good decisions as to what they bring, if they can even make to the States. So anyway, I thank you, Lord. We can cover them in your blood, and we thank you for putting peace in our hearts for all of our relatives that we're concerned about. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to pray for her too, and her family. Lord, I just pray that you would just touch their hearts, touch her heart, and that you would open up her spiritual eyes, that she would see you and hear you, spiritual ears, that she would hear you, Lord, and that you would send laborers to help her to read your word to her, that she would see what you want her to see in your word and hear what you want her to hear, and that she would be just drawn to you more. She give her dreams, visions of you or angels, something that would encourage her and draw her closer to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, what's interesting is this lady became very well versed in this whole vaccination thing, and she was adamantly opposed to it, while some of her kids embraced it, and I think it may have caused some division in the family. But I think it's cool that she did her own study, she's a physician anyway, but she took a position, a very strong position, on this whole vaccination thing. So anyway, I'll leave it at that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yep, that's not some bad stuff. But I've been vaccinated, though. I've taken the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, 18th shot. So I've been injected by Jesus. Glory to God. And I know y'all have, too. Amen. All right, anyone else? Malcolm,
yeah, Michael. I was just going to say, I went into Costco. Yeah, they have a sign up saying that if you've been vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. And I thought to myself, well, I've been vaccinated.
Amen.
God's vaccination.
That's exactly right.
You don't have to wear a mask. So far, they're not checking. They're not checking to see if the magnet sticks to your arm or not.
Yep. Amen. Been vaccinated with Jesus. been injected with the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many times. Lord of God, been filled up every day. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? You know, here, I'll just mention this briefly. Here in Tennessee, it's more people don't have masks on than do now. It used to be the other way around, but people are getting sick of them things. You know, they're hard to breathe, you know, all that stuff. I think I wore them one time. No, twice. I worked twice. I had to go into a restaurant one time with that stupid thing. Then once I got in there, I could take it off. Now, that made a lot of sense to me. Made a lot of sense. And then if I went up to go to the buffet to get some more, I was supposed to put the gloves on and the mask and all that. I said, yeah, but I can't sample while I'm up there if that stupid thing. So I didn't go back. All right, anyone else? Yeah, I'm sorry, Isaac. You're having a hard time seeing that thing. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. It is difficult to see. Yeah, no, you're talking about those the vaccinations and all that. We found out today, y'all know Justin, lady.
You froze up and your audio is gone.
Yeah, sorry. It gives me like 30 minutes and it shuts off. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Thank you for turning it back on.
Well, I was wanting to, excuse me, say a little prayer for Justin. Because at his work, I guess they're implementing a thing where you have to wear a name tag, and it says that you're unvaccinated, and you have to wear the mask also. But if you're not, but if you are vaccinated, you don't have to wear any of that. And so he works with a lot of clients, and now because of this, they can choose not to work with him. And so what I see coming down the pipeline, not that this is just me, you're going to start to see a lot of discrimination, and I think this is going to be a start of the persecution of the saints. You know what I mean? Because, you know, real saints, we got that Psalms 91, right? So I see that working down the pipeline. But it seems like he's getting a little bit of the forefront of it. I believe anyways, we'll just, if you wouldn't mind praying, we pray for him, give him comfort. Because I know that's got to be frustrating for him. Because it's like saying, well, you're not vaccinated, so you don't have the right to breathe. But if you are vaccinated, then why are you worried about it? It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So I'll say a prayer. Lord Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for all the things you've done in our lives. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters. And I thank you for unity. I thank you that when two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. Father, I pray for my brother, Justin. Would you just give him grace, Father? And that, Father, he'd be content and be happy. They cannot steal his joy. He has the joy of the Lord. And I thank you, Father, that we all do. And I thank you, Father, for these days that are coming upon us. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. I am so thankful, Father, for your grace. Amen. And to see the works of you. And I thank you for all my brothers and sisters and growing them into the image of yourself, Father. Growing them into Christ's image. And I thank you for all that you've done, all that you are going to do, and all that you're doing in us. Keep us safe, Father, and keep your hand over Justin. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Justin. Yeah, as everybody here probably already knows, they are gearing up to control us in this way, to do just like they did in World War II with the Jewish people. Gonna have to wear a big yellow star on you, whatever. But anyway, we are set free. They're the ones in bondage. Go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, I just want to take that prayer and apply it to Nick, too. He's at his job. They're saying if you're not vaccinated, you have to wear a mask. But if you are, you don't. And so he came home not really understanding that it's not a good thing. But he's like, Mom, I need to get vaccinated. I want to get vaccinated. And I'm like, you're not getting vaccinated. So he hasn't really pushed it yet, but I have a feeling it's going to come up again. So I talked to Frank about it already, and I told him, what, you know, that's just something he can't get done. So just prayer for, you know, I don't know, that we'll have the right, he won't bring it up. I just pray that he won't bring it up, and he'll just accept that we're not getting the vaccine and understand that and be done.
Now, how old is he?
Nick's 26, but okay. He's special. He doesn't understand why things aren't bad or good or anything. So he just really needs to listen to us and do what we say. So.
Amen. Yep, there's some evil stuff. Lord, we thank you for
can
doing
I say
that
something?
Today. Yes, Sunil.
I've read somewhere that because of the after this audits that have happened, they are claiming victory, and so he has filed a cease and desist for the vaccine initiative.
I saw that.
It would stop soon, so hang in there for some time, and
amen.
Things could change.
Yeah, I saw that, Trump had already issued a cease and desist on the vaccination. So we'll see what happens. Just hang in there. It's going to come out. Amen. Thank you, Sunil. I've forgotten about that. All right, anyone else? I don't like them shots anyways. Anybody like a shot? Anybody like somebody sticking a needle in your arm or wherever? Glory to God, that hurts. I remember when I was a kid, they had to hold me down and give me one. I wasn't going to take it.
Hey, Michael, tell you a shot story.
Why?
A bunch of shot stories. No, not a bunch. When we were in Nepal, we couldn't get disposable syringes just because of the situation. So that meant they had to run kind of permanent syringes through the autoclave, which is a gizmo that you stick your metal stuff in and then cook the dickens out of it and then hope everything's dead, and then you can use it again on the next victim. So anyway, after a while, these needles, you know, the nice sharp tip, became kind of curved over like a barb. Maybe I already told the story on here. I'm sorry if I did. So it would curl back on the side that's not sloping. So it was a pretty good barb, but they had to keep using it. So I remember getting a shot. It would, you know, the shots there at the hospital. So it would go in hard. It really hurt. But my goodness, when they pulled it out, that hook would just grab flesh and you'd be bleeding when it was all over. And oh my goodness, that really hurt. I guess cacti have the same deal going on with those barbs. They have little hooks on them at the end. Kind of like those little hooks that they have in the nasal swabs, on the little fibers they haven't identified what they are. They have little hooks on them. So who knows what that's about. So that's my story.
And then the needles are also thick.
Yeah, they were thicker. They were mean. But you know what? You know, okay, here's what's really sad when you think about this. First of all, Western medicine was not accepted when we first went there. It was starting to be kind of, I don't know, people were considering it, but most people weren't willing to come to the hospital simply because it was, first of all, fog was Western, and some folks even said there were Christians running it, and that, of course, was forbidden. And so people did not want to get shots at the beginning, but we were convincing them that this is the way to go to get shots, you know. So eventually it got to the point where some people would come in and they would demand a shot. Of course, they didn't need one, but that was the cure that they had in mind. So they would get so demanding that my dad finally ended up making up saline solution shots, which is just water, you know, water with salt in it. So it would be accepted by the body. And so they'd get a saline shot with these little hooky syringes. And then they were happy. So, you know, flash forward to now, you know, we've encouraged people to get shots while we were there. And so now everybody's like, yeah, we need that COVID shot, you know. Everybody needs a COVID shot. So in a way, I'm not real happy about the whole progressions of things, because we taught them over time that, you know, shots were the way to go, and now they're paying for it. I know we can't feel guilty about it, but I just, it's been the progression.
Amen. Oh my. All right. Anyone else? All right. Let's talk about something. Y'all want to talk about something? Do you? What? Okay. All right. Has anybody got any questions about Tuesday night that they wanted to clarify or get clarified? Or do you have any questions about the whole hidden manna stuff? Or do you want to go on to another subject? I'm just asking. To another subject? Go ahead, Isaac.
I was just going to ask, y'all talked about the millennial reign last time, and that was the first time I've heard that, and I was wondering if you might be able to, you don't have
bullet
to,
point
you,
it.
Yeah, you don't have to go spend too much time on it, but I don't really know how that millennial reign works. I guess I thought we were all going to be here, but I believe what you guys said, but I'd like to make more sense. If you could maybe explain that a little bit more, please. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Anybody want to tackle that? Anybody want to explain it? Oh, you got your hand up, Claire? I'm just kidding. I'm messing with you. Well, let me see if I can do it in a simple, quick way. The millennial reign happens after the resurrection of the saints and after the all that stuff happens in the big war and all that kind of stuff. And then from the natural people, there's going to be a remnant saved of the natural people that didn't go up in the resurrection. And if you've read When Do We Go in Hidden Manna, it tells you that there's only going to be two more resurrections after Jesus, the first fruit, right? Okay, one of them is the resurrection of the righteous, and the other one is the resurrection of the unrighteous at the White Throne Judgment at the end, at the very end, after the millennial reign. So if there's only two more resurrections, then after the resurrection of the saints, which is right before the millennial reign, then during the millennial reign, all of those people that are there at the end will turn, and when Satan's turned loose, will turn against God's people. Or God, or turn against God, actually. Because during that time, if you probably already know, Isaac, they are in a theocracy. In other words, God's ruling over the people at this time. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. And they can't do it because they can't get away with it, you know. But at the end, when the enemy is released, when Satan's released, they're all going to side with him. And that's going to be the end. That's the part. Every one of them are going to be lost. That's just a quick synopsis right there. Anybody got anything you want to add? You're welcome to it. Okay.
I had prepared, sorry.
What's that, Sunil?
I had prepared a small presentation for regarding the feasts. I had to work through this part of it. So I could share something if you could permit, or I could share something on the screen. And okay. I have a presentation. I could run through a few slides of those.
All right, hang on. Let me get you permission here. All right, go ahead.
Do you see my screen?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, 1 second. How do I put it in the presentation mode? Oh, here. So we know that a thousand years is just 1 day, and 1 day 1,000 years. So we could, as you know, David spoke of something called the eighth day. David Eales, I mean, So I just went off that, not his presentation. I went off what is the Bible and with that concept. So I'll just give a small background as to why I did this, in the sense that the fall feasts, the Feast of Tabernacles is celebrated even during the millennial time. And so I was wondering, why is that celebrated in the millennium when everything has been fulfilled? That was how I came to this point. So the sixth day of it culminates with the seventh trumpet. So, and it's blown, and Revelation 10, we see, So in Revelation 10, we see that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God should be finished. So, The seventh trumpet marks, the blowing of the seventh trumpet marks the end of the sixth day. And in Revelation 11:15, he says, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So what happens then is the heavens open, it's seen in Revelation 11:19, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and they were seen in his temple, the ark of his testament, and the man child is brought forth, the woman flees into the wilderness, there is war in heaven, and Satan's thrown to the earth, and the proclamation of victory of the man child is done. Mm-hmm. So then there is Satan is given a free hand, and there are seven balls being poured forth after. Mm-hmm. So then it comes into the seventh day, when that's the appearance of Jesus. And it's in Revelation 19, 11, 19, and 21st verse. So then there is the beast and the false prophet are, you know, punished, or, you know, they are put into the lake of fire. then okay, Satan are you, goes into
Are you supposed to be putting those words up there? I see you got a whole bunch of them over on the left there. Is that the ones you're supposed to be? Because you're locked on the sixth day, on the very first one.
You're not seeing the seventh day as my screen, as the screen
no,
now?
No.
I forgot to change the slide.
I did. Oh, okay. Give me a second here. Let me.
Yeah. You may have share. There, but it ain't. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Okay. So I'll just go back and put up those slides so you can just read it through. So this is the sixth day. You would have seen this slide. And this is the next slide. So I got a few points that I just spoke out earlier. And the seventh day, we see that Jesus appears. Then there is a beast and the false prophet are put into the lake of fire. Satan goes he goes to prison. That is, he falls for for 1,000 years. That's in Revelation 23, verse 3. I mean, sorry. Give me a minute. Sorry, I mean. Okay, then we see that the eyes of the Jews are open, I think. So that's when Zechariah 14, 8 and 9 get fulfilled. And then there is a first resurrection. So that's in verse Revelation 24, 20 verse 4 to 20 verse 6. And it says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power over them, and they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So then it continues. In the seventh day, the earth regenerates after the wrath was poured out. So that's there in Isaiah 35. And the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. And there is a time when no more prophecy is needed. The Feast of the Tabernacles is kept. So this is what, made me go after this as to why it is being kept. So Zechariah 14, 18, it says, and if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And in this millennium, the curse and death continue for those who were not part of the first resurrection. So that's in Isaiah 65, 20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die at 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. So after this time of reign by Jesus on this earth, so there is an intermediate period between the seventh and the eighth day, in which after the 1,000 years are finished, Satan comes out of prison, and then he gathers those on whom the saints reigned to the battle. So the battle of Gog and Magog happens after. That's in Revelation 20, verse 7 and 8. And then he creates the insurgency against the Lord and the saints. That's in verse 29. And it says, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And then Satan is thrown into the pit, and it's there in Revelation 20:10. Then he says, and in 20:11, he says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. So that's this physical realm, as we know as this earth, ceases to exist, and John sees a new heaven and a new earth. So, and it there is a second resurrection, death and Hades. Also, after they have been given up their dead, they also are going to be put into the lake of fire. So that's there in Revelation 20, 11 and 12. And that's marked as, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. And then it continues into the part of the second death, which is in Revelation 20, 14 and 15. And it says, hell and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And this is what Matthew 24, 35 and 36 speak about, which says that, and no, we all claim that nobody knows the day or the hour that the Lord will come to judge, but actually it means the heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not of the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So why is that so? That's because of the intermediate time with Satan. This initiative is done by Satan, right? So he has to create the insurrection. So that's why there is that unknown time between the seventh and the eighth day. So and next slide is the eighth day. Then there is a new heaven and a new earth created on the eighth day. And new that's where the nation of Israel is going to be. And that's found in Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. The new Jerusalem comes on the earth, on this new earth, and that will be the home for the saints that we see in verse 2. Then there is the Father lives among the saints in New Jerusalem. And he says that I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. That is in Leviticus 26:12, and that we see in Revelation, and that we see fulfilled in Revelation 21:3. And he said, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And in verse 23, he says, and the city had no need for the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb was the light thereof. And the nations of them which were saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory and honor into it. And that's also the fulfillment of Isaiah 49:7. Where he says, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, and princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. And then in the eighth day, as Revelation 21:4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And there is no more curse, as we see in Revelation 22:3. And there are other also the fulfillment of Exodus 22:30, Leviticus 12:3, and Leviticus 9. Where the Aaron's atonement has been accepted in heaven, and also there is total cleansing. So I think that's the end of it. Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Anybody got any questions? Yes, Rio.
I might have missed some of the beginning of it because I had to go just help the kids there. But I've always, I'm looking.
Just because it was a wasp, not because I'm lazy. Like, there's only so many wasps one can handle.
And
thank you for the clarification, Claire.
A day is as 1,000 years to the Lord, right? And from the start of the creation, there has been the 6 days now, right? Like we in the coming into the 7,000 years, and Jesus said it well on Isaiah as well. It says in the morning of the third day is where we're at now. So that's the 3 days from when Jesus then came, right? So that's the, there's been 2,000 years now, 2 days since Jesus came. We're at the morning of the third day, which then puts the eighth day at the end of the tribulation. That would be the start of the eighth day, if I'm not mistaken. So that's what Angelica said there. That's the eighth day is the day of the Lord. That's the start. That's when the day of the Lord starts. And the day of the Lord is that that year of the day of the Lord, the year of recompense. So it's, I'm a little bit confused. If I look at the presentations, Sunil, that you gave now, of the timing of the days, the rest of it seems like it's, the chronology of it seems much the same as what I've always thought. So it'll be interesting to hear everybody else's thoughts on that.
The day of the Lord is, it's the wrath of God, which is being poured out. So it's the end of the part of the part in the sixth day, the end of the sixth day. So as to, if we could take, a small change in the aspect that we think, and we say that the sixth day is here, but, it says that, the bridegroom tarrieth. So this could be the tarrying that we are seeing is what I think has to explain why it has not happened yet or something like that.
I didn't understand that, but go ahead. The sixth day, the beginning of the seventh day. We're in the seventh day now, right? We've already seen 6,000 years go by.
I would say that is we have to see the rest of God being fulfilled. So the seventh day would be the day of rest, and that's coming. It's not a rest for man, but it's the rest that God promised, and it is that God resting after his works, after making everything the footstool of God's, put under the footstool of Jesus. So he says, sit at my right hand till I make all your enemies your footstool. So we see that God is working now, and the seventh day will be the day of his rest when his son is fully established on the earth. That's what I think.
Well, we're supposed to be in the rest now. We're supposed to be in the Sabbath now. And I'm not sure where you're going with that. It's a type and shadow as far as the Sabbath rest. It's something that we need to be into now.
Yeah, this Sabbath, now we are entering the Sabbath that God created, but then God himself is resting on the seventh day. So that's something from God's the perspective
of
God.
It's a type in the shadow, Sunil, for us to be into that rest. That's God so decreed for us to be in that rest. And we do it by faith.
I don't deny that. We rest in the works of Jesus. In Jesus' finished works. I'm not disputing that. That's the fulfillment for us, and there's a fulfillment for God as well. So that takes place in the seventh day.
Okay. I'm kind of confused now. I'm not sure where you're going with it, but anyhow. God already fulfilled it. Yeah, just like Angelica said, he's already fulfilled that. Anyway. Anybody else? Go ahead. Pat, you got some clarification here?
Well, I don't know that I have clarification. It's just more of an observation, and that is there are a bunch of parables colliding in this scenario. I think Sunil is talking about the 1,000-year framework of 7,000 years, and then the millennial 1,000 years after that, etc. So we're talking what God is doing in the overall scheme there, but there's also a parable of a microcosm of that, meaning we're talking about also a time frame of 7 years and an eighth year of being, actual years. It's just in that time, in that period of year of in the 7 year, 8 year sequence. And we're also talking about a picture of what happens within us as believers in cycles, in the cycles of our life, coming through. Well, I won't even develop that point, but so we could take it on the personal level as something that happens to us as believers coming into Christ, coming through the wilderness and that whole experience and going into the promised land. And then entering into rest, our Sabbath, continual Sabbath rest, and kind of that parable on the personal level as well. So I think that we have a bunch of different parables or views of the same pattern kind of coming together on the thing. So I'm not sure where Sunil is exactly coming through. The trumpets and the feasts all have providing a pattern of not only what God's going to do in the overall long-term period of what he's doing in the earth, with the earth, but also has a resemblance of something that's happening within us on the personal level. As far as maturity and growth and whatever. So I don't think I have any enlightenment. I just have more of an observation that it's hard to say, well, that's right and this is wrong type thing, because you're dealing with various different views or parables. So
I think we might be getting our times kind of interchanging here when you shouldn't interchange them. The tribulation is 7 years. When it starts, it's 7 years. You got 3.5 years that the Gentiles will be brought in, and then 3.5 years that the remnant of the Jews will be brought in. At the end of that seventh year is when the saints, as somebody was talking about in the chat, as the saints will be raptured out, the dead in Christ will be raised up, and then the ones who are alive in Christ will be raised up to meet them in the air after the 40 days of seeing the recompense of the evil of the wicked. That's that 40 days that about Noah, that part there that David talks about. But anyway, that's when that happens. After that is when the 1,000-year millennial reign begins and goes for 1,000 years, whenever that is, whatever year that is. At the end of that is when the white throne judgment comes, and, you know, the people all get together with Satan and they try to come against God. And of course, God just zaps them. And that's where the white throne judgment is. Yes. That's the beginning of the day of the Lord, the wrath of God. No. It's not. That's where we're getting mixed up there. We're trying to put it all, one day is 1,000 years. Well, you can't do that because tribulation is only 7 years long.
Hey, well, Michael, my hand's been up for a while. I don't know if you saw it.
I saw it. We were trying to work through Sunil, though. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Just I'll back out and listen.
No, you go ahead. If you got something to add to this.
Not really. I'm just asking for prayer.
Okay. Well, regarding... We can pray for you.
Okay. So a little background is I spent 10 years of rather in-depth study of Daniel and Revelation. I wasn't so much trying to figure out what it was, but I was trying to figure out what it wasn't. And that meant getting very involved in the nitty-gritty of Daniel and the Aramaic and the Hebrew. And because I wanted to be absolutely sure that what I had learned was wrong before I moved on. So as a result of that, in 2005, I finally decided, okay, I've had enough of this, and I want to seek the Lord and just walk with Him. But as a result of my feeling like I'd been burned, because I bought a paradigm, and I taught the paradigm, and it had to do with Daniel and Revelation and the end time events and eschatology and all this stuff, which is what we're discussing. So, but as a result of that, I've had a kind of a reluctance to look at other people's work and trying to establish eschatology and trying to, put times together, because I really wanted the Lord to show me all that. So I'd just like to ask everybody for prayer, that I don't have undue reservations about studying other people's work on this. If you know what I'm saying, I don't, probably a lot of you here haven't been burned that way, but I have, and it really hurt. And I felt like, the wool had been pulled over my eyes, and I got taken. So if you don't mind, I just wondering if you guys could pray for me that I don't have any undue reservation in studying these things. I am looking forward to understanding a lot of this. I felt like the Lord's going to reveal it when the time comes. I think some of these things He's going to hold His hands over, like the 1290, 1260, 1335.
Well, I can tell you my experience, Malcolm, and that's all I can do. I did the same thing. I was looking out, and I had all these scriptures, and I thought I knew what was going on somewhat. And then, the Lord would show me something else, and it just destroyed what I knew. But then I came on to David's teaching, And I can tell you this from my experience with reading that, is it all fit. I had the verses, I had them all out there, but I couldn't fit them in to where, in my mind, that it made sense. Now, everybody's going to have to do your own study, but when I read David, and I read it through, I don't know how many times, he hadn't mounted through, I don't know how many times, and I prayed and had my Bible sitting right there with me, and to seeing if the written word was proving what David was saying, and it was. And that's my experience with it. I knew what he was saying, for the most part, was God's word. Because everything fit. All the verses fit. And that's what we're always looking for.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just my experience. Everybody's, like you said, everybody's got to search it out. Go ahead, Rhea. Maybe he has something.
Sorry, I want to comment on that as well, Michael, and pray for Malcolm and for all of us here, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
It's that analogy that David often used, where he says, if the people who recognize false notes, if you want to study how to recognize false notes, the way they do it is they study the original note, and that's all they study. They just study the original note over and over and over and over. And that's how you recognize something else. Now, I feel that it's the same way with these revelations of the end times. Is if you've not been given that, I suppose it's a talent. It's that some have been given the five talents to study this and understand it and know it. They are able to distinguish what is the truth when it comes to these end time revelations. Now, we have all, well, I'm sure most of us have seen many different interpretations and things, and there's always something that doesn't sit right. And I agree with you, Michael, that, and not that we're respecters of persons, but David Eales have got that revelation from God in a very, very unique way. And he has put it all together for us to understand as simple as possible. And although the book is massive in hidden manner, it is all there. It's all been given to him. We need to, not that we need to study hidden manner, because only, you know, we need to study the truth, which is the Bible. But if there's confusion through studying that, I would rather go through hidden manner and try and see if there's anything in there that I don't agree with.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? As take that as the note that has been given, as the one note that we can look at, because it references the Bible all the time. But if I see something wrong in that note, then I know I'll need to go find a different note that is the real one. In my experience, and confessingly, it's not a long experience, but when I read that, I don't see anything wrong with that revelation that has been given. And that's why even I'm hesitant to put that picture up, that I put that graphic up there, because that was just for explanation. Not that you need to go now and let's go look at Gabriel Ansley and what he said. No, that's going after a note that I don't know whether it is the true note that we need to study. And I think if I'm hearing what you're saying, Malcolm, is that where you're saying that's where you've gotten burnt? If you've gotten all these different banknotes that we're studying and we don't know which one is the right one. These things I would rather, if we discuss this, we discuss it out of hidden manner and see, okay, is there something in there that we don't agree with? And if there's not, then let's keep on studying that and understand that fully and get our good grasp on exactly what David is saying there before we head into any other territory, or perhaps even try and understand all those for ourselves, because it is a unique revelation that has been given, or understanding that's been given to David, and to put it together in a way that others can understand it as well. And that's my experience. So I, I pray, Lord, that for all of us, that we would just get rid of any confusion or any teachings, Lord, that we might have heard in the past, that we got a burned for, Lord, that would just disappear out of our hearts. We would not even remember it. We would not even know about it, Father. We want that true, original banknote fresh in our memories, Lord, and only want to study that. And let us quickly be able to discern, Lord, that what is false and what is real by studying your word, Lord, and by studying the revelations that you've given David regarding the end times. And I pray that for all of us, Lord, that there would be no confusion. I just rebuke confusion in this camp in the name of Jesus to go. We would remember that when we read that, how it just made sense and everything just fell into place, Lord. And we repent of having memories that struggle to understand. I ask you, Lord, to put in each one of us very, very good memories to understand what we have read.
Amen.
And memories that are sponges for the truth only and reject anything else. Let us be sponges, Lord, for the truth. And anything, the only thing that sticks, if you throw anything against the wall of our life, the only thing that sticks on that wall is the truth. And that is what I pray for each one of us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I'll ditto what Rhea said in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Rhea. All right. Anyone else? Okay, Benita. I see you over there.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say to Sunil, what you presented sequentially makes sense, but it's not in line with what David has taught as far as the days following along with the days of Noah. And so there's the seven, you know, he knew 7 days before the flood that the flood was coming. And then the eighth day was the day of recompense when the wrath of God was poured out. And so I don't know if you've listened to those teachings or not, but, and I haven't had time to study what you presented. I really need to sit down and look at it, but it just isn't what David's been teaching. So I don't know if you had studied what he had taught in that area about the eighth day.
To reiterate a little bit more with what Rion was talking about, if you'll listen to Hidden Manna, all during that, David talks about the Lord giving him a word of knowledge. The Lord giving him a word of knowledge. And the Lord has given David that word of knowledge from the beginning almost. And that word of knowledge is to clarify the word to him so that he can get out the right information on the teachings that he has. And I'm not, you know, he'll tell you, even in his Bible studies, he'll tell you, look, don't believe what I say. Just get the Bible out and follow along with me. And it will, the Bible will prove itself. That's why he uses so much of the word in his teachings. He does it for a reason, for the witness that he's teaching. Yeah. Anyway, anybody else? What do you think, Andrew? I'm going to put you on the spot, bro.
Well, the Lord, first of all, will tell us when the 7 years began, just like he told Noah.
Yep.
And
David teaches it.
Those 7 days of the tribulation are a seven within the seventh millennium.
Yep.
And it goes for 7 days, and then what the church does is they mix their wrath in with the tribulation, and they don't see the eighth day. So at the 1335th day is when the actual rapture resurrection happens. But the ones that'll only be raptured and resurrected alive will remain to that day and go up alive in heaven to heaven, but the dead in Christ will precede them, and then the mortal will also become immortal, just like it says in Corinthians. And then begins it goes for the rest of the year after the 1335th day. I forget the number. It goes to 365, so you have to add on the rest of the days there. And that's when the city of God comes back down here. And Jesus and I guess the regenerated are going to rule this earth. And I don't know if those people who are saved and going to be regenerated are going to go out amongst the people who are left, who did not partake in the first resurrection. And after all the wrath is done and over with, some people survive through that. And after that, you know, the millennial reign, the one body and Christ reign here for 1,000 years, where there's going to be pristine conditions for the people, because they ain't going to be any more devil. All the stuff we go through, they ain't going to have to go through that. You know, they're not going to be bothered with the temptation other than what a man might go through on a general day. But with all the God's angels and with all of the redeemed, I don't know if they're going to even make requests of us for some of the things to actually come to pass during that millennial day. And then at the end of the 7,000 millennial day, the 7,000 years, the sequence of events happens where the devil's let loose, and it goes back to normal for man. He gets infected by the devil, all of them, because that's who he rules, because they're not resurrected. They can't have Christ in them. And then they surround the camp of the saints, and they try to attack it, but God the Father interferes, and then he takes out the books, and to put on a side note, even if John Bunyan said you had to escape the wrath to come, and all history God will judge in accordance to the kingdom. All those things that are bad are going to be written in those books. And if you're not written in the book of life, you don't make it. But the ones who are already went through the first resurrection are written in the book of life. And they go on into eternity, which I don't think there is an eighth millennial day after the seventh millennial day, because it's just an eternity starts then. And I think that's the sequence of events that I read about. I don't know if I'm wrong there, but it's pretty straightforward.
Yep. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, I was just going to read something real quick. I can't add on too much to anything. I was listening to like an audio of Hidden Manna for End Times. I really need to listen to the whole thing. I haven't. But I know that David always says some of thy words is true. And man, there is a lot of scripture. Sometimes he'll back up a point with, man, 5, 6, 7, 8 scriptures. And it's really awesome. But this one little revelation, this word of knowledge and this wisdom that he's been given, he said this one day, and I had to replay it. And me and Mary went, oh, man, like that is deep. Like, how do we miss that? But it is what it is. So, and I'm just going to read the verse, because I can't really say much on it. So Revelation 12:6. Some of y'all probably know this. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,200 and 3 score days. And he said, that's 1,260 days. So if this gives anybody any, I would say, comfort in the authenticity of the Bible and the wisdom he's given, so the praise of the Lord, that's what I'm trying to convey here. So 12:6, I mean, that's the authenticity right there, 1,260 days in the wilderness. And that's Revelation chapter 12, verse 6. So it just like proves itself. Like, man, there is, that's just God-given. I mean, even for them when they wrote the Bible and put these numbers and notations in there, it's just God-given, man. Like, that is revelation. And it's awesome. And it's like, to me, it's like, that's a gift from God. And it just really helps my faith, man. I don't know if it helps anybody else, but that's all I want to say.
Amen. Amen.
Well, all right. If I'm wrong, but isn't it the last chapter in Daniel where it actually goes and gives you the number of 1290 and 1335, the last chapter of Daniel, for the great tribulation and the wrath, or to the point to the person who waits to the 1335th day, it actually mentions all of it in sequence there for the great tribulation and the 45 days after for the rapture and resurrection in the last chapter of Daniel. So those two numbers are actually written there. Yeah. Anyway.
Amen. Joe, what are you doing? Are you out of electricity?
Yeah, we got load shedding again.
Oh, yeah, my God. Sorry. Okay, so you're watching TV by candlelight. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another great night with you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for straightening our minds up with what you want us to know. And we thank you for it, Father. And Lord, just place it in our hearts to just read your word and study your word and just get us like you, Lord. Give us the heart that Jesus had so that we can love even our enemies. And we thank you for doing that, Lord. Lord, we ask that you give everybody here, like it says, and I believe it's Psalm 127, that you promised us a good night's sleep. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Not only that, let us bless that Mr. Robert tomorrow when we go over into his strawberry field. And Lord, bless us too, because I know I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be sitting there eating strawberry. Glory to God, and thank you, Lord, for it, in Jesus' name. Bless everybody here with household salvation. And we thank you, Lord, that it is being already done as we speak in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for healing Tracy. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And answering our prayers tonight as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Angelica, where'd you find that picture of that fishing boat?